You're listening to SBS News.
The Special Envoy to Combat Islamophobia has handed down his long-awaited report. It contains 54 recommendations for the federal government. It's the first report by Aftab Malik since he was appointed as Australia's inaugural Islamophobia envoy last year in September. The report includes feedback from Muslim communities that Mr. Malik visited during his travels around the country, with the goal of formulating a national plan for change. While that was underway, data from the Islamophobia Register Australia revealed there's been a 530% increase in incidents reported since the Hamas attacks on October 7, 2023. In this episode of Weekend One-on-One, Aftab Malik speaks with Rochelle Harrison-Pless about the significance of the report and the opportunity to truly address the insidious nature of the problem once and for all.
These recommendations came about with extensive consultation across the Muslim community, including 30 global and national academics. So what I'm putting forward is a report that I'm very proud of, and I believe that it is robust and practical and evidence-based. And all the endorsers, which is including the large organizations such as ANIC and AFIC and the Alliance of Australian Muslims, they believe that the recommendations will get the job done, in the sense that the report endeavours to systematically address Islamophobia, go to the roots of the cause of Islamophobia.
And when we look at, for example, the report that was handed down by the Special Envoy for Anti-Semitism, who called for the power to cut funding to public institutions that they thought didn't address the problem sufficiently, your report didn't go as far as making those sort of similar recommendations. So what would you say to people who would say, well, you know, these recommendations are all well and good, but doesn't go far enough?
Well, that's easy, because my main influence came from the Muslim community across Australia, and what they wanted was recognition, not retribution. And they wanted recognition with action points. And so that's why I will maintain that momentum behind these recommendations to the Prime Minister. Also, I worked with 30 national and international academics, and that was not deemed global best practice.
Now, I would just like to go back on something that you mentioned at the press conference there about anti-Palestinian racism, why that is distinct from Islamophobia. Obviously, there are some in the community who say they are absolutely linked. I mean, that statistic alone, the 530%, is since October 7th. So I'd just like to hear a little bit more about that.
I get asked this a lot. I think, to be very clear, is that it's very clear from the statistics that anti-Palestinian racism and hate has driven Islamophobia. The two are quite distinct, where there are intersections between the two. Islamophobia encompasses Muslims of all ethnicities. Anti-Palestinian racism is focused on Palestinians, and it also seeks to erase and undermine their connection to their culture and to their history. And so there is a connection, but they are two separate phenomena.
To come back onto the recommendations, regarding that list provided to stakeholders and the government, have timelines been established for each recommendation? You know, which ones are sort of prioritised for immediate implementation?
A government official who will not be known, won't be told, asked me, what are your most important? I said 54 of them. So we haven't talked about timelines. I've literally just handed the presentation to the Prime Minister. My role now will be to ensure there's momentum. As I said earlier, this is a historic moment. And this is a moment that is pivotal for the Muslim community. And also the Muslim community will be looking for the government to endorse all recommendations in a timely manner.
Have there been any recommendations proposed specifically for Islamic communities, outlining their role in supporting government efforts and related agencies to address Islamophobia?
No, really, this is again, it's a pivotal moment, and I've been quite clear in the responsibility is on the government. A lot of Muslims are spent, they're exhausted doing open days and iftar days. And so I was very careful in crafting this report to ensure that the responsibility was on the government, because it's only the government can really tackle the institutional systemic forms of Islamophobia.
Based on your experience with various Muslim communities, what is the most effective approach to engage grassroots Muslim populations?
Listen, empathy, and take them serious.
And what are your expectations from the relevant agencies in responding to your recommendations? What are the potential consequences if some or all recommendations are not implemented or acknowledged?
Well, I'm going to pull my full effort from now on ensuring the government endorses all 54 recommendations. 53, 52 is not what I'm looking for. The 54 is a magic number.
Just one last question. How can focusing on social cohesion help address Islamophobia in Australia? What forms or initiatives should we prioritise to help them?
That's a really important question. I mean, Islamophobia doesn't simply impact the Muslim community, it impacts everyone. Because what it does, it creates an us versus them. It creates suspicion. Somebody could be wearing a headscarf or somebody is walking in with some shopping bags, and people just don't like the way they look. And so what's happening is that it's like a creeping villainy. Kierkegaard, who was a Christian theologian, talked about creeping villainy, how things happen so slowly and over a period of time that you wonder, how do I get from A to Z? And so this is what's happening. I think Islamophobia is a form of creeping villainy, and that people themselves who feel themselves, we're not racist, we don't think bad of Muslims, but if they reflect upon their attitudes and signals, maybe they say, oh, that guy looks supports a terrorist, or is he pro-Al-Qaeda? And what happens is people make light of these, they make jokes. And that's very telling. When something so damning and serious is now made a joking matter, that shows you how far away we've gone from social cohesion.
Is there anything you would like to add?
There's a story, and the story is that Muslims are not outsiders. You know, they have been in this country from at least the mid-1600s. We need a shift of narrative. The more Muslims are seen as outsiders, it creates a fertile ground for Islamophobia. Get to know your neighbour. Go to a local mosque. You know, go and avail yourself. Come to my website. My website has a vast amount of information that dispels most of the myths. But fundamentally, Muslims, like any other citizens, we laugh, we bleed, we cry, we mourn.